to Real Flicks Reviews, Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. And this week's question is, favorite Danny DeVito movie? And your and our answers in a bit.
Fucking random.
Is that even a possibility?
We'll find out.
Alrighty.
And, hey, I told you guys. And have you, Kenneth... Oh, God, I'm not going to be pronounced this. There's going to be a Murder on the Orient Express movie. You know, you hear rumors about this every so often. What do you guys think? Even remotely interested?
Old-timey?
No.
I don't know. I still like noir. It would be kind of cool. I'd like to have, if this is what it's going to be about, like a noir mystery. I'm always kind of in for those. The question is, will they be any good?
No.
Well, I mean, if you do these kinds of things with sort of a modern sensibility and a modern filmmaking style and just have it set in a different period, I've always really liked those movies. I don't know why I keep wanting everything to be a fucking timepiece, though.
I would say mostly because, well, I would say because technology has a tendency to ruin stuff like this. I think this is set in the 20s. There's no cell phones. I think it allows suspend your disbelief a little bit more versus...
I think that's exactly what I keep coming back to, especially when we keep talking about like The Mummy or something like that.
You know, because, I'm thinking if I watch it now and something happens, like, dude, take a fucking picture with your smartphone, you know? There's proof this happened.
Yeah, or, you can basically call an airstrike with your cell phone, I mean, given the right circumstance, you know, it's... The possibilities are out there, and so either you have to be really clever or the stakes have to be so well beyond our sort of current technology, et cetera, you know, that it's, I don't know. I mean, certain time periods lend themselves to certain stories.
I would say a lot of the times, I'd say anywhere between the 20s and like 1949 are like, in my opinion, like the perfect golden era for a lot of mystery tales and, you know, spiritual stuff like The Mummy, because it allows you, it's old enough that none of us have been alive, we're around for it, and unless you're really a history geek, you don't know anything about it, you know, and it just allows you to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's certain things you just flat out can't do, like you wouldn't be able to do a modern day King Kong. I think when they went to Vietnam, that was the farthest they can go. Because, yeah. You know, nowadays, one Tomahawk missile is going to drop a gorilla, you know?
No, what they...
Nuke enema.
Right? Oh, and they nuked, yeah, they nuked New York. There goes Godzilla.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a real easy time getting to that island. It's not going to be a problem, you know? They're just going to roll in there with a few F-22s and...
Right? We just have a giant radioactive island for a while.
Yeah, I mean, really, worst case scenario, you have a radioactive island. So, yeah. You know, you go in there with Hueys and M16s, though, it's all funny games.
Bikini exactly. Bottom.
So talk about Danny DeVito. Jeff Goldblum and Danny DeVito will be squabbling musicians for a TV comedy. So Jeff Goldblum, who's, you know, he's the biggest fan of himself, and Danny DeVito, who I've always kind of liked, even though he's kind of a troll.
I'll watch Danny DeVito squabble with anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping they have Jeff Goldblum talking in the third person. Jeff Goldblum does not like that.
I could see him do it.
Because he kind of does it in real life a little.
He pretty much does.
Even though I'm a big fan of both. Not a big fan of The Fly.
I love you some Goldblum.
I'm not a big fan of The Fly, but I pretty much like most of the other stuff he's done. I love his character in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for a long time, was pretty much the same character he played in every movie around that era.
And it was definitely the same character he played in Men in Black.
True.
I mean, come on.
Nice of you guys to really dig deep on Jeff Goldblum's filmography.
Did we really have to dig deep on it, though? I mean...
So would you talk about, like, Buckaroo Banzai, which is a movie I enjoy? I mean, how far back do you want to go here?
Well, I'm just saying he's done other things in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but I mean, those are his most famous roles, the two that we mentioned.
Well, I would say, I'd say The Fly, Earth Girls Are Easy, Independence Day, Jurassic Park, and there's a few smattering of other ones.
Which we have done on the show. You can go back and look.
I think those are the movies most people know him for.
How dare you throw Earth Girls Are Easy in that?
What's wrong with Earth Girls Are Easy?
Oh, man.
I would also say
I'm sure Goldblum would punch you in the face if you just listed, you know, Earth Girls Are Easy.
No, are you saying
so the question, one of his seminal classics.
So you're saying it's not one of his classics. I'm just saying it's one of the movies people know him for. Whether it's good or bad is completely separate from what I'm talking about.
I think most people are in a fugue state when it comes to if they've even seen that movie or not.
I admit I've seen that movie.
Unfortunately, I have.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but we're masochists, though. That's a different story.
No,
come on.
No, James is a masochist. You and I aren't experts in it like James is.
Yeah. I've got the scars.
I mean, come on. He watched, like, all seven.
He brings this up all the time. Phantasm. Yes, it wasn't that bad.
Yes, it is. Within a week?
That was, like, 2 days.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you on that one.
So I was bored.
So the most interesting thing coming in the news is Hard R is starting to come back. Jennifer Lawrence is starring in a spy thriller called Red Sparrow. It wants a hard R. I'm liking the fact that R is coming back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, the pendulum was definitely bound to swing back the other direction.
When they made Die Hard PG-13, it swung too far in the other direction.
That's my point. You know, you have to come back with stuff like that. You know, I mean, we're adults here. We can make movies for adults. It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm just happy it's coming back because it's like all of a sudden all these action movies and violent movies were like for 13-year-olds. It's like there's no blood. There's one swear word.
They're trying to make something like Die Hard accessible to a younger audience to get them involved into the older Die Hards. You know, versus just trying to sell the new one to a bunch of 40-year-old fans.
I'm okay with doing it for the bunch of 40-year-old fans because, you know, I know a bunch of old military dudes. The last thing I'm going to hear them say if they do something is, oh, gee golly willikers, which was what he was
practicing.
Well,
here's the thing, man. When we were kids, part of the fun was like sneaking and seeing these movies like or your parents being cool enough to say, like, hey, here, check this movie out. It's called True Lies, you know? And when you're fucking 10 years old, it's the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life.
I actually saw that in theaters
with
my parents.
That's awesome. So you feel like you're kind of getting away with something. You know, you're being allowed access to this club of these rated R movies, you know?
But back when that happened...
That was something special.
Yeah, but when you have... No, but I agree. But when, you know, that was a rated R movie, and it deserved its R for the time. But
Well, that's my point, though. You know,
we got away with watching. There's nothing special about a PG-13 movie. I mean, I actually like the PG-13.
No, there absolutely isn't.
Yeah. It's just...
That's the thing is the studios all of a sudden thought that they had to, like, market to the kids. When, to me, as a kid, rated R was a marketing enough.
Yeah, I blame agree. Shrek. Well, here's my reason.
Okay.
Well, no, I blame
he
Shrek
like
because
Michael Myers.
Well, Shrek was one of the movies.
I thought we were blaming Die Hard.
Well, Shrek was one of the newer versions of the movies where they included a lot of adult jokes that kids wouldn't get.
And what are you talking about? They've been doing that in cartoons since the fucking 30s.
I know. I was going to say, have you watched Bugs Bunny recently?
Yeah.
Have you watched Shrek any cartoon ever?
Well, Shrek was, I think, the one where they extended to as far as they could go, like Lord Farquaad. I mean, there was a lot of jokes
on the edge.
Have
you ever watched a Tex Avery?
Yeah,
seriously,
I don't think there were as bad.
Wait a minute. They wouldn't even play that on TV anymore.
Out the ass.
Okay, then let me put it this way. It's the fact that everybody, even kids at this point, got that versus not a lot of kids got the Shrek stuff.
No, look, Toy Story did this shit. I mean, major cartoon aside from maybe like Cinderella or something.
Yeah, but there's 25 Shrek movies. I mean, come on. It's like the Land Before Time.
Well, dude, it's a formula that works. That's why they've been doing it forever.
So talk about a formula that works. Kingsman's Matthew Vaughn says he already has Kingsman 3 planned.
All right. I'd be good with these being
I like it being a nice little side dish to the Bonds, you know?
I just wonder, you know, how much can they do? Are they going to be able to get away with a formulaic? Because Bond is so formulaic, but everybody keeps seeing it. Is everybody up for another one of it?
Well, hold on. Matthew Vaughn isn't exactly a formulaic guy, although, you know what I mean? He's a kick-ass guy. I have a lot of faith in him as a guy who can keep things, you know, nice and heavy.
Well, I mean, I think they did that with Daniel Craig, but it's still the basic same formula. So, I mean, are people going to be okay with another very, like, the basic same flavor like that?
Well, dude, I mean, if you're going to do a sequel, it's going to be a sequel of a movie. But this one, at least, Kingsman was such a unique flick, you know, albeit it was sort of a kind of an homage to a Bond-style movie. It was still such its own thing that this is the kind of thing that I'm cool with having a sequel, because at least they fucking, you know, shot for something when they did the first one.
True. And it was very tongue-in-cheek at the same time, which I appreciate.
Well, that's one of the reasons I loved it.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. There's a piece in movie news you'd love us to read, or even a movie you'd like us to review. You can get a hold of, us at facebook.com/realflixreviews. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. And this week's question is, ever so randomly, favorite Danny DeVito movie? And mine would have to be Renaissance Man. Mainly because of one scene. There's a scene that takes place in the practice range or something, and they're reading a piece of Shakespeare. It's St. Crispin's Day. I actually forgot it's what it's about, but I love that particular scene. It's one of the better scenes in any Danny DeVito movies, in my opinion. James?
I actually got quite a few, but I think the one I'm really going to go with is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Really young Danny DeVito.
I was thinking about that one, actually.
Okay, then you can have that one. I'll pick a different one. I had a backup.
No. I settled on my other one because I preferred it.
So, Ryan, batters up.
To me, it's the greatest thing he's ever done and still currently doing, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They let this fucker off the leash in this show, and it's the greatest thing he's ever done.
I was always surprised he did that movie, and I was really glad to hear. He's a
producer in that show. Okay,
well, I'm glad he did.
He is vying for this. So I think this is the most Danny DeVito that Danny DeVito's ever been, because I think he's actually insane.
I think he's closer to Floyd and Taxi than he is anybody else.
Yeah. The other one I was going to throw out was Twins, because I like what happened with him and Arnold in that film.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Twins.
Now, I just found this out. They're in discussion of doing triplets now.
Mm-hmm. Twins 3.
Yeah, 2.
It's been announced, dude.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like, really? I mean, Twins was funny. There were funny parts of it.
No, isn't it Twins? I thought there was a sequel to Twins.
No. Ryan, was there a sequel to Twins?
Negative. Absolutely not.
I almost guarantee there wasn't. So
I think that movie was a bomb at the time.
That one was a bust for them. But I always found it pretty funny. I mean, because you got Arnold pretty much in his prime, saying that he's the brother of Danny DeVito, you know. I mean, that's just hilarious. I'm just wondering who they're going to do for the triplet. Will Ferrell? I mean, come on.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, really, think about that. Who are they going to throw in for
what's,
that?
You're not going to believe who's currently attached to it.
Who?
Well, first of all, Ivan Reitman, I think he directed the first one, is directing this. Eddie Murphy.
Wait, what?
Eddie Murphy. That's like the perfect choice.
That is.
He's going to try to resurrect his career.
Have to go with a black guy.
Yeah. I mean, you could have thrown in Jackie Chan, but I mean, I'd go with Eddie Murphy.
I would say Jackie Chan would have been the easy choice.
Yeah. I mean, you got some kung fu master, you got Arnold the bodybuilder, and then you got DeVito.
Come on, it's practically Rush
Hour. You know, I mean, come on.
I would also say L.A. Confidential is one of my favorite Danny DeVito
roles. One of his better acting ones, as far as I'm concerned, is War of the Roses. He did a fantastic acting job in that. Not so much as comedy or angry DeVito. I mean, though he was angry, but you know, not the usual one.
I loved him in Get Shorty. His character in that was awesome.
And Smoochie.
Yeah, that's a Smoochie.
Yeah, even Throw Him On With From the Train wasn't bad either.
Yeah, you lied to me.
So Robin Williams' final film, Absolutely Anything, gets official U.S. release date. And I have no idea what the movie's about. The question is, will you see it? Because yes. I will not.
I'm going to watch it.
For me, I have a weird quirk about not watching anybody's final movie. I don't like watching the final episodes of TV shows. I realize it's a really weird quirk, but I just don't like seeing the ending of things. It's a weird quirk, but Ryan, quirk. Will you be seeing it?
No, I will. Well, you know, I mean, if it's, I don't know. I probably will, because I really like the stuff he did towards the end of his career when he started working a lot with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
When Bob was doing his indie films, he did some good ones. I think a couple of them I brought up on here.
Yeah.
But yeah, did some really, really amazing, like, dramatic work, you know, towards the end of his career, so if it's along that same kind of vein, I mean, I'm interested for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what it's about, honestly, but it's still I love the dude a lot. Far as he's literally one of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite actors. I just don't know if I could actually stomach it.
I'm gonna watch it.
Well, I think it's been long enough that I'm ready to watch Robin Williams and laugh again. You know,
after doing 2 months of Robin Williams movies, I'm still not sure if I'm ready.
You just like toys too much.
Whoever picked that, I should punch at this point. I think it was James.
It'd be interesting to see that happen.
Was it you?
Yeah.
God, that movie sucked. Toys is such a bad movie.
I hadn't seen it before.
There's no excuse for that.
Punch him.
It's got your little albino guy in it. You like that.
Stranger Things star says season 2 is more disturbing.
I'm excited.
And horror-oriented.
I'm excited for it.
I'm super, super, super stoked that that's coming back.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm big time.
I'm surprised it's coming back so fast.
So much of a fan of the first one. Oh, I'm not soon enough.
Yeah, I think I'm going to binge-watch that season again.
Well, I'm just really surprised because Netflix, like, you know, even the ones that, like, take off always seemed, you know, to take forever in order to get it released.
They do.
Well, I think they've had enough time, and I don't know, I could totally be wrong on this, but I think they've had enough time to kind of figure out with their original programming what the formula is for filming to air. You know, like, they're probably filming the next season as the first one is about to air, kind of thing.
Oh, they probably are.
You know, so that way they can have, like, a real good, predetermined, scientifically proven, you know, a perfect amount of time to wait before you bring a show back, kind of thing. You know, versus waiting for the writers to get done with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they wait until people start watching it again and then they release it.
Well, and I think that has that's got to be part of the formula. Is they have to figure out how people, you know, and over what time frame they consume television on Netflix, because that's a whole different ballgame, you know, than appointment viewing. So you got to figure out, okay, how long before we can really safely assume everyone's kind of seen season one, you know, before we sort of drop season two without people forgetting about it, et cetera. So
in another piece of movie television news, technically, Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles unearths a television series home. What do you think? Is this too late? Is it something you're interested in? Usually, historically speaking, vampire movies on television, vampire movies have sucked.
I agree.
Or you get really out into this fantasy world like True Blood. I don't know. I mean, it's weird to say, but like, are they going to do like a grounded version of True Blood?
And the other question, I've got to read the article because I read it, but I don't remember it. Is it going to be HBO or the Alphabet Channel? So if it's going to be cable,
well,
then I think they could do it.
It would have to be at least AMC or something like that. But when you strip the vampire stories back to its bare bones, that's when I'm always a fan. You know, when you have the simple rules, you know, everything but, you know, the Dracula turning into a bat or something like that. You know, I like the original lore. I think it was fucking good enough, and it doesn't really need to be messed with.
I would say any of the lore from Interview with a Vampire. None of, like,
well, that's Chronicles of a Vampire.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, you say historical lore, they're going to be like, oh, they can't see themselves in mirrors. And
well, that wasn't part of that, though.
Not of Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
I don't know about it being a serialized version, though. That's, you know, True Blood really had to jump the shark like a dozen times to keep that show going past a couple of seasons.
Yeah, they did.
Well, how many books are there in Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles?
Quite a few.
I think there was just three,
was
right?
Was there three? I thought there was more than that. I thought she did an extension on it or something. But I'm not an Anne Rice fan, so...
Because I think you could probably, if you do it well thought out, I think you could do three seasons, maybe four, you know, have everything tie into each other at the end of the series, tied off with a nice little blow. Not like, you know, most TV used to do, was just keep going and going and going until finally your ass got killed.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, but there are some shows that I'm just upset are done, like Black Sails, man. I mean, that one finished out last month, and I'm like still kind of like I'm sad it's done.
Is it really? How long was it on for?
4 years.
Four seasons.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but you know that's they did exactly what I love TV shows to do, and the reason that I actually haven't finished it yet. But they had an end goal in mind.
Yeah, they did.
You know, obviously they did, because they're going to eventually butt up to Treasure Island.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
so
they did fantastic with the seasons they have, and I mean, I'm happy with the storyline. I'm just saying I'm bummed it's over because I was enjoying the crap out of it. So
the reason that you enjoyed the crap out of it is because they knew where they were going to go with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
you know, it wasn't something cobbled together. Hey, you guys got two episodes left. Sorry, do what you can.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they could do it with Black Sails, but other serialized content, I think they could do different series within that universe. Yeah. You know, they could have, okay, finished one story, use the same title, different subtitle, go. You know, and instead of
I think that's the problem that we've gotten into lately, is that people are trying to do that. They're trying to do spinoffs. Everything's got to be fucking, you know, Joni Loves Chachi.
Well,
you know,
see,
when
I'm
it needs
really
to be
talking...
just a new, it needs to be just a new pirate story.
See,
if there's going to be a new fucking pirate story, a new pirate story, but don't do anything attached to Treasure Island anymore.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm not really even talking about a spinoff. I'm saying, you know, take. I don't know, like have, like, for example, Star Trek The Next Generation, have a series just about the Borg, then do it's not a spinoff, same cast, same everything.
But they don't need to do that. You can just do a new space show. You know, do Battlestar, do
Voyager,
The Expanse.
Enterprise.
Yeah, exactly.
STG. STNG, sir. Forgot the N.
Somewhere, somebody's going to be very upset with you.
I bless you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for watching. Goodbye.